That deal for Merrill from Detroit, what does that do for the Canadiens?
Just more flexibility at the D position. He's a guy who's played 400 games. He was eating 20 minutes a night for Detroit, so he's a durable guy. You know, and he's had the experience of a couple of playoff runs in Vegas. But it's as much as giving them options to see how to put this defense back together. When Sherratt went out, they changed all three defensive pairs to make sure that they, what they thought was right with Shea Weber. And then what it really affected was Jeff Petrie. Because Joel Edmondson had been number one in the league in plus-minus. Petrie was having a tremendous year. Well, since he's been out, he's only had four assists. Since Sherratt went out, Edmondson moved away from him. He's only had four assists. And he's really, you know, it hasn't been the impact player he was. So I think this Merrill pickup just gives him flexibility, gives him a little more depth, and will give them a chance to settle a little bit until Sherratt can come back.
Let's beat the storm and be on our way. And it don't matter to me wherever we are, but I want to be. And honey, for once in our lives, let's take our chances and roll the dice. I can be your lucky penny, you can be my four-leaf clover. Starting over.
Welcome back. Hour number two. It's not only NHL trade deadline day, as you heard Dave Poulin and James Duthie from several hours ago on Trade Center, but it's also game day. The Canadiens taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And a lot of talk about defensemen, not only John Merrill, but just prior to the deadline, they picked up Eric Gustafson from the Flyers for a seventh-round pick. Tonight, the defense pairings have changed as a result of that 5-0 loss to Winnipeg at the Bell Center on Saturday night. Here to talk about it and much more, longtime NHL defenseman, three-time Stanley Cup winner, Aaron Ward, who normally would be on with us after 6, but Mark Bergevin will be speaking live from the Bell Center. We carry that, so we get to talk to Aaron a little earlier today. How you doing?
I'm good, and you might also have a problem with Ray Ferraro, because I actually was fortunate to get ESPN, who's live streaming TSN, so I've had that on all day, and Ray is, I mean, given the fact that it was, I mean, tumbleweeds through this whole process, he's had to carry a fair amount of the coverage. So the Trade Breakers pretty much sat at home in their underwear and did a little work towards the end of this, but I think Ray might be hoarse when you finally get him.
Okay, so heavy lifting by Ray Ferraro. I guess Carlo, see, I did it again. Carlo Koliakovo. He just can't draw on the same kind of career as Ray, huh?
Well, he was secondary panel, I think. Well, Ray was on with O'Neill, Poulin, and Craig Left Eye Button.
Right.
you ever? I don't know if you saw.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw Craig Button. He had a pickleball incident. So, he and Lisa Left Eye have something in common. Actually, it's just right eye, left eye. I don't know.
No,
what
it's Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Much. Yeah, you got the right eye. Yeah. No, you got the left eye actually.
Yeah. So.
Are you slightly bitter not being part of it or what?
I feel like I said, I was damaged goods. Once something goes wrong in your life, I think that your house of cards having fallen puts a lot of people in the business who may have also their house of cards that could be fragile in a place of they don't want you around. So I had an opportunity. I got back there 2 months and then was on TV, thought everything was going well with TSN in 2017. And then unbeknownst to me, they stopped communicating with me. So... this is my favorite day too, right? So I like the challenge. I like to dig. I like to try and pursue things. I like to get information out of people. Today I turned, because it was so boring, I actually started trying to mess with people on Twitter. And I just gotta say this. I don't know how often you have him on radio and he is a Montreal guy. Dave Stubbs is one of my most favorite personalities and people in all of hockey. The most genuine, funny, generationally different than mine, but fun, engaging guy. And so he and I were kind of going back and forth on Twitter a little bit, but it was a very boring trade deadline today.
Action picked up as it always seems to in the last 40 minutes or so, and we had the blockbuster involving the Capitals and the Red Wings, which we'll get to in a second. But first, let's start with the acquisition of John Merrill, who's a left shot. who could play the right side. And then later on, Gustafsson, who a couple of years ago had a tremendous season anchoring a power play for the Chicago Blackhawks. He's got a heavy shot from the blue line. We know there have been really, it's been a real struggle on the power play of late. What do you make of those two acquisitions specifically? And then we'll get to the new D partners tonight.
Oh, I think you have to. I think you actually have to roll back, right? So putting Mete on waivers, I guess signified something. So I don't know if that was a transactional waiver or it's looking at it and coming into today, sitting with 362,000 cap space in Montreal, it meant that something had to be done, right? So Armia's coming back soon, or he is back. Price is coming back soon, and there's news that Sherratt was coming back sooner than expected. So I don't know if it was hey, listen, we're going to throw him out there and see what happens with Mete, but we need some cap relief. So that happening, and I touch on that one. I think it's good for both parties. Mete finally gets to move on. He gets out of a toxic environment for him, and it has nothing to do with Montreal. It has everything to do with his experience in Montreal hasn't been great. He's going to go to Ottawa where the sky's the limit. You can do just about anything. You can be who you are, try and play the game in your fashion, and you're going to get an opportunity because Ottawa right now needs a whole heck of a lot, having gotten rid of all the defensemen that they did. For Montreal, you now save yourself the controversy and the distraction of what are you going to do with this guy, right? Are you going to give him an opportunity? No. I mean, it's the expiration date's happened. So now he gets to move on. Montreal gets to move on. They bring in Merrill, who now solidifies, in terms of a veteran presence, an opportunity for him to kind of see possibly where he fits in with Romanov and see if they can get some sort of cohesion, a younger player with an older player, and see how that evolves. Now, hopefully, it shores up depth-wise, right? So Sherratt comes back. You have some questions now with seven very serviceable and experienced guys this year on how you're going to utilize them. So that falls on Ducharme. It's a good problem to have, but I don't know how he's going to handle it. Now, Gustafsson, same sort of thing. I think it's a situation in Philadelphia, as much as I could ascertain anything from it, I think he's fallen out of favor in Philly. And truthfully, everything in Philly is going south. So for him, I think it's great, a refresher, an opportunity. He's got to go through his quarantine, but he's going to come in. And now for Bergevin, he can point to his lineup and say, I have decently experienced, I mean, seriously, there's one guy in there that doesn't have the same amount of experience, but still, eight guys that I can look at, and if I'm going to make a run into the playoffs, as you watch other people in the North shore up their team above them, I've got eight guys who can play the game, and I'm comfortable with that. My goaltending, I'm very comfortable with. Forward-wise, I really hope Gallagher comes back. Armia's coming back. Should be comfortable with where they're at. So that's, I think, walking away, I think Bergevin did a pretty good job. Did he make anything big out of this? No. But, I mean, what expectations you had for Montreal coming in the trade deadline, I don't think they were huge, and I think that's it's an acceptable end to a trade deadline for the Canadians and the Canadian fans and the guys in that locker room.
All right, we'll get to the struggling offense in a moment, but as of tonight, based on the way they skated the last couple of days, Petrie and Edmondson are back together. They were one of the best pairings in the NHL before Ben Sherratt got hurt. It'll be Weber and Kulak as another pair, and Romanov and either Leskinen or Ouellette will play alongside Romanov for tonight. What do you make of the changes there?
Smart. You got to start integrating your lineup into the fashion you expect it to be going forward, right? So if your realization is the guy being hurt by this is Petrie, then you put him back with who he's comfortable with. And truth be told, you can't discount the fact that there's a level of comfort that goes along with playing at your peak. When you feel certain, confident, whatever it is, however you want to say it about playing D, and you're expected to put up a certain level of production, There's a comfort that comes with knowing that the guy you're with, you already know where he's going to be when you're here. That in a time of need, he's going to be in the place you expect him to be, not where you hope him to be. So there's a relationship that these guys have formed that is successful. So hopefully, I mean, you don't want to always consider the best interest of one guy over your team. But in this case, I think it's essential, right? So Montreal hit an upswing for three games, and they've been getting a downhill for the last three of, like, Jesus, you got to stop this roll. I think it starts in the back end, right? Eventually, you know, you're going to form, you're going to get your goals off of opportunities, but you got to get that puck out of your net. You got to stop it from going in. And some of that is the transition ability of the puck from your back end to your front, and getting Petrie, who has been incredible this year, back to a place of happiness. And I wouldn't doubt that Weber is on board with this too. Like, hey, listen, I can adapt in a short period of time to knowing that, hey, Sherratt's going to come back sooner than later. And this time I'll take the young guy. I'll play with him. I'll play with Kulak, and I'll see what kind of, you know, guidance I can give, and what maybe a quick, surprising relationship I might form with him. So I think it's an advisable move.
With Aaron Ward on Melnick in the afternoon on game night, Habs and Leafs. We'll take you to the broadcast time with Dan Robertson and J.P. O'Connor in for Sergio, is doing TV at 7 o'clock, along with Mitch Gallo and Joey Alfieri. Mitch?
Aaron, do you think now that Kulak is paired with Weber that perhaps the Canadians are going to dial back on Weber's minutes a little bit down the stretch here?
No, why would you? Right? So I think that the dial back on minutes will naturally happen. I mean, Kulak's not going to play in the power play if Weber usually plays with, and Schrott was the first, you know, penalty kill with him. I think that's where you place him properly so that you give him an opportunity to excel, and you kind of wean him into situations like that if you decide to utilize him on the PK. But I think, again, like I said, there's going to be a rebound effect for Kulak on this, right? Don't discount the idea that there's a almost a euphoric feel to be on the number one pairing. However you slot him in, for a player, it's number one pairing. I'd tell you that there's times I played away from Zdeno Chara, even as a 36 and 37-year-old. I approached the game differently with excitement and happiness and almost a boost to my ego every time I was put back with Chara. So I think this can be a motivational type thing in a positive manner for Kulak to look across and say, oh, I'm getting an opportunity with Shea Weber. I got to seize this opportunity. So that's where I think. I think if you're trying to guard a kid from getting put in a bad situation, you're making a mistake.
No, never considered that. Like you said, I'd like to play more if possible, given the chance.
Asked that load management question yesterday after practice, Shea Weber. Remember what he said when they came out of the COVID break? He said, everything's fine now, but why don't you get back to us in when the schedule toughens up? And it took 1 week for the schedule to toughen up. And they've lost three in a row ahead of the matchup against the Leafs tonight. Joey?
Yeah, see, Aaron, the weird thing about the Kulak-Petrie situation was that Petrie's play dropped, but Kulak was playing well, and he played well with Petrie in the bubble. So, yeah, you might get a boost from him, but he was actually playing pretty well, all things considered. That's why I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out.
But it's still an adjustment, right, for Petrie. Yes, he was good in the bubble, but currently, for this season, there's a more ideal matchup. There's a better pairing, and he knows that. Whether he's going to admit to it or not, or it's subconscious, you play to how you feel physically and mentally, and there's I'd say an equal division there. So the confidence in which Petrie plays with, the difference between Kulak and say Edmondson or anybody else, it will always differ. So I think that's why if. You know, I don't know because I'm not sitting in the coach's room, but if I'm to make an assessment as to why this move would be made, it's for the benefit of this guy. And Montreal needs Petrie to get back on because he's not just producing, he's producing in timely moments. Like when Montreal really needed it, you kept saying, you know, oh, it's Petrie again. Whether it's an assist or it's like an unbelievable goal at the right or at the right moment, it seemed to be the same guy.
All right, I don't know how we can do this in less than 5 minutes, but we'll give it our best shot. I'm just going to throw you know what's happened here. The Bruins getting Taylor Hall, the Leafs getting Nick Foligno. Man, what happened just before 4 o'clock when it came out? The Capitals getting Anthony Mantha.
Okay, well, I'll jump on Hall. Hall for me is interesting because Cassie's got a big problem. He's not going to crack the top line. You're not going to break up Krejci and Richie, because they seem to have a tandem going that you don't want to mess with, right? You want a guy to come in and not upset the balance. So that means that now Coyle is going to be matched up with Hall on a third line. Now, I know for special teams it may be different, but that's actually, for me, actually a good thing. That's like depth on the next level. The next one you mentioned.
Leafs and Foligno.
Leafs and Foligno. So Foligno's got the legacy of his father. I think it's a smart move. I think that it's not the most glamorous move, but that's where Toronto usually goes, right? They try and satisfy a fan base where, you know, you want to acquire all the stars. I think Foligno's presence on a defensive end, on a when you get in the playoffs, you really need a guy to play a certain role. That will satisfy that asset and that need. So I actually got to tell you, I think it was a very smart play. I would also tell you, I think there was a large part of analytics that came into this in terms of what he does in small areas for the needs of the Toronto Maple Leafs. The last trade with Mantha. Mantha is a guy, and I would kind of hasten back to my connections to Detroit. All the skills in the world, but sometimes it's the check-in, check-out that left people scratching their head. Verana, and give me the next one. Is it Panic that came in the deal? Panic?
Yeah.
Okay, so quietly Detroit's really assembling a ton. Like the farm system, not just I'm talking American League, but I'm saying the young components that they've acquired, they've been patient and they're sticking with it. Mantha signed a contract recently, and that's asset certainty for the Washington Capitals and who they will get and who they will have for a period of time. So I think this trade makes complete sense. And it goes back to, I heard someone say this, this is the only hockey trade that was basically made at any point through today. That you've got two or a couple of assets that coming over will still be in the league for a very long time. So Washington gets in Mantha, a 6'6" or 6'5" guy, because you all know that everybody lies at their heights in the National Hockey League. That's got skating ability, wants to use it, and great scoring talent on a team that I think honestly is going to push him to be responsible for his performance, where he can kind of lay back in the weeds in Detroit and sometimes play, sometimes not. He's not going to play in Washington because there's so much above him if he doesn't decide to show up. These young guys that Detroit got, I mean, honestly, they're going to be eventually the cornerstone of where they're going to be in 2 or 3 years. And I'm saying look out for Detroit. They're going to be impactful again.
Ferrana first, second, and Ponick. Final one for Mitch.
So, Aaron, when you look at all the moves that have been made, not just the moves on trade deadline, but everything leading up, who do you think got significantly better over the course of the last couple weeks?
I don't think significantly better, but I would say kind of solidified their position is Vegas in getting Janmark. I don't think Vegas really needed a ton. I think they have the best tandem in net right now in the National Hockey League, and they've been cruising along. I think that Vegas, for me, is the favorite. And to bring in a guy like this who is going to just add. I keep screaming, rich get richer. They didn't give up a ton for it. They got a guy that's going to come in, and I think that they've done their homework in all facets of this and going to get someone that seamlessly integrates into this lineup, and they'll know how to use him well. And, again, it's about how long can the run be? And I think he's going to slot in. He can slot in so many places and fit well within the Vegas lineup.
All right, Gallo's question of the day, your all-time favorite NHL trade deadline moment. Of course, you are mine.
Confirmed.
It's great that we could laugh about it all these years later. Thanks an awful lot. Appreciate it. And we'll talk tomorrow at around 5:40.
All right, sounds good.
Well, just consistency in our game. I think if we stick to our structure, and obviously we've done a pretty good job so far, and I think the more we go here, the more that's going to build and the more important it's going to be. Breaks are hard to come by in a season like this, and, you know, ask us in a month how we're going to feel playing.
Michael Farber's next.